Well, hey, everyone. We're opening up this week's inbox, and I have Candace on the line with me. Candace.
Hey, Lisa.
Hello.
Good to hear your voice, as always.
I know. Very fun. So, very good to see you. Happy New Year, by the way. I think we're a little bit into January here, so.
Happy New Year. I hope you had a good Christmas. I hope you had uneventful travel to Minnesota.
Yeah, well, it's always eventful, let me tell you. So, I can't even get started on that. But, well, we have a great question for you. I know just a few weeks ago you answered one about hotel rooms. Now we're talking about roommates. But not at
right.
least not in the same
right.
sense, but still
right.
another great habitation question. So that's our theme, I guess, for the for this season.
Habitation.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
So here we go. Our listener says, living with roommates is easy. You come and go as you please, cook and eat whenever you want, keep your own part of the house clean, etc. When it's time to get married, how do you make the mental transition from living with a roommate to living with a lifelong mate? How do you stay away from the roommate mentality after you're married?
Well, again, another great question, there are a couple of ways you can do that. I think the most obvious is to not waste the season you're in by being so glib about your situation. You know, resist the urge to see this as, hey, I can come and go as I please, and I can cook what I want for myself, and I just do my portion of the chores. I think you have to make yourself serve others when you don't have a marriage situation, and certainly when you don't have a parenting situation where you have people that are actually dependent on you for their very life. So this is optional, but it's no less essential that you serve your sisters in Christ, or, you know, if this is from a man, your brothers in Christ. And I think this is why maybe sometimes we don't realize the negatives of having such a long period of time between when we leave home for college and when we get married, the negatives of just living with peers. There are reasons to recommend living in a family situation, even if it's not your own parents and brothers and sisters, you know, to live with a family from church or someone that you are close to. I did this during the time that I worked on Capitol Hill. I lived with a family that had two children. And so it was a lot harder for me to just come home and do my own little portion and be off by myself, because I would walk through the door and these kids would be excited to see me and treat me like, you know, an aunt or a cousin. And there were people making demands on me. And yes, it was harder than it had to be. If I had just lived with other single women, I would have had a lot more freedom. But it was a good hard, because it forced me to stay out of my own selfish zone and think about others and serve others and to be building those through the spirit muscles that we are forced to build when we're in demanding family settings. And so if you are not living with a family, if you've chosen to live with peers, I think it's good to talk with your roommates about ways that you can be intentional. So I think it's a good idea to maybe even sit down with your roommates and put your heads together and say, hey, you know, I'm concerned that maybe I'm being too selfish and I want to find ways that I can be more intentional about living in this home with cultivating some family-like elements, so that we're not just getting so good at being single, but we're actually preparing for what the Lord may have and hopefully does have ahead for, you know, if you're wanting to get married. So that might mean you agree to eat dinner together once or twice a week, and you even cook together or rotate who cooks and share shopping responsibilities. And maybe you have a cleaning day where instead of just doing your chores when you can squeeze it in, agree on an hour or two, you know, every other Saturday when you're all going to work together and actually have more of a team mentality. I would think it would be a more pleasant living environment if you are functioning more like sisters in Christ, which is family, familial, than just roommates who never see each other.
Yeah, that's good. And I would imagine just by intentionally trying to be in one another's lives, I mean, that allows you to be real and allows you to have conflict and work through it. I know my pastor said not too long ago, he said, if you're not having conflict with people in the church, you're probably not doing church well. And so
yeah.
Possibly the same can apply to roommates, so that when you are married and all of a sudden, oh my word, this person's in my space like every day, you know, then you've
right,
already had
right.
a little bit of practice with that.
That's right. And I think that, you know, certainly I don't want to suggest that doing intentional living well with single women will be all you need to prepare you, because it goes to a whole nother level
mm-hmm.
when you get married. I mean, you start to really see areas where you're selfish and where you like to be closed off from the involvement of others. And so the roommate situation is just a little taste of it. But why not really make the most of that and cultivate that opportunity to be in relationship, just as a way to be practicing for what comes next?
Sounds good. Well, good advice there, Candace. Okay, everyone, that is it for this week's show. Again, we want to say Happy New Year to you and hope that you are starting your new year off well. We do want to remind you that we're still tallying up year-end giving, so it's not too late to give. Go to our website, boundless.org, and click on the candy dish so you can give to the work of Boundless if, in fact, it has blessed you this past year. We also want to mention our relationship services area. They do good work in getting you hooked up with resources that you might need, not just singles, but also families. If you know any couples that could use some help heading into the new year, they have a lot of great resources and advice. They can refer you to a counselor. So go ahead and call 1-800, the letter A and the word family, and talk to one of those folks there. We always like to highlight them, and they connect people with our counselors as well. So that is it for this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, for The Boundless Show.